Take your Bibles, if you will, to the book of Luke, chapter 17. The title of our message this morning is, But Where Are the Nine? But Where Are the Nine? Today's sermon comes in two parts, the parable of service. And may I say this, God expects his people to work. And maybe that's one of the problems we have with many people in the church today. It's like we have a lot of problems in this world. A lot of people don't like to work. I don't want to say they're lazy, but they sure need a lot to get them going. And a parable of service, and then it'll be the 10 lepers that are healed, 10 lepers. Shall we stand together? Luke chapter 17, we'll read verses 7 through 10. If you're unable to stand, that's perfectly understandable, and you may remain seated. But if you are able to stand, chapter 17, verse 7, the book of Luke. Of which of you, having a servant plowing or feeding cattle, will say unto him by and by when he is come from the field, Go and sit down to meat, and will not rather say unto him, Make ready wherewith I may sup, and gird thyself and serve me, till I have eaten and drunken, and afterwards thou shalt eat and drink. Doth he thank that servant because he did the things that were commanded him? I trow, or the old English word for think, I trow not. So likewise ye, when ye shall have done all those things which are commanded you, say, We are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can be called your servants, your children, your friends. Thank you, Lord, for your willingness to die for us, to pay the price that was needed to redeem us, to pay our ransom, to bring us out of the sin pit, and set us, Lord, on the rock. Thank you for your love. In Jesus' name we pray, and with thanksgiving, amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. We find in this parable that Jesus begins by putting his listeners in the position of having a servant. I do not believe it's wrong to have servants. I believe that we have a society where a lot of people are unemployed. We probably would do good to have some of them as servants. The problem is people think the word servant and slave are the same, and they're not. As Christians, we are to be servants. And I don't think it's wrong to have a servant and to have someone who is under your authority, and you are providing for them a place to live, and you provide food for them and maybe a stipend. But we find he asks the question, and I paraphrase, which of you would allow your servant to eat before you had your dinner, but would not have him prepare your meal, even though the servant has been working hard all day? May I say this, our Lord Jesus Christ was not a lazy man. We know that he was a carpenter for many years. And then he had his ministry for 3.5 years, and he was busy about his Father's business. He worked. And then our Lord asks another question, doth he thank that servant because he did the things that were commanded of him? My mother once chided me for thanking you for coming to a particular service, saying, now this is my mother talking, and you can hear her from heaven, right? You shouldn't thank them for doing what the Lord expects of them. You shouldn't thank them for doing what they're supposed to do. And yet we live in a world that is so afraid of those who aren't performing to par, we don't want to hurt their feelings. I remember when my grandson Luke was playing softball, he had on his team 18 players. I could not imagine 18 players on my team until all 18 of them went onto the field to field. They all went out, every one of them, and some of them were sitting on the grass in the outfield with their back towards home plate. I couldn't believe it. And then they all 18 bat, and they could only go through one time. I mean, if they were playing a bad team and all 18 of them got up the bat and all scored, the inning was over and they would go out on the field. And if they didn't get all 18 up, well, they'd just start up from the next point. And at the end of the season, Luke showed me the trophy that he got. I said, oh, did you win first place? He goes, I don't know. We never kept score. I said, what place were you in? He says, we don't know. Just everybody got a trophy. They didn't want to hurt anybody's feelings. I was talking to a mother who said, do you know that they don't have A, B, C, and D at our school? Because if someone gets a D, they'll be embarrassed. I was embarrassed a lot. I did get the other grades too. But we live in a society that's so afraid we might hurt someone's feelings that we bend over backwards for those who really don't deserve it. And here we find the Lord says, do you think you're going to receive a thank you because you did what you were commanded to do? You know, we are constantly having to praise people, or they'll get their feelings hurt and go someplace else. Jesus is saying, and my mother was in a concordance, one should not be expected to be thanked for being obedient to our Lord's command. Well, what does he command? He expects us to pray. We should pray for the pastor. He needs it. You know that he needs it. We should pray for the pastor's guy that works for him. He really needs it. Yeah. We should pray for one another. This is commanded. Pray one for another. We should be reading the Word of God. What a blessing it is to have a Bible. Did you read what's on the back of the bulletin? Missionary to Indonesia. You haven't read it, don't read it now. Read it later. Karen Worth in Indonesia. Only if some of the kids that came to Vacation Bible School had Bibles, so they gave Bibles. Are you glad you have a Bible? Amen. I hope you know where your Bible is. Amen. You know what I hate? I hate to see some Bible in the back of a car up in the boot. And the cover's curled. Yeah. That Bible's been there for 6 years. You know, we need to read the Bible. It's commanded. We need to attend the house of God. It should be part of our habit to be in the house of God. We should be giving to the work of God. Our God is a giver. Jesus Christ was a giver. We should be givers. We should. God loveth a cheerful giver. And then we should be inviting people to be with the people of God. Amen. Inviting. They may not come. In fact, most of them won't come because they don't see the need. But that doesn't mean you shouldn't invite them. Amen. Note our Lord concludes his parable in verse 10. When ye have done all those things which are commanded you, say, we are unprofitable servants. It's all for his honor and for his glory. Do you realize that we go to church to worship the Lord? You do realize that? Amen. That is why we come, to worship the Lord. Amen. We are blessed when we do that. It's a blessing to come and to sing, hear a song, Amazing Grace. Thank you, Randy. We appreciated that. You know, we appreciated the choir singing the song. Brother Wucky, they did it for you. I think that's nice. You know, I think it's a blessing when we can sing the songs of praise and we can give. But then there's a second part to our lesson today, beginning in verse 11. And it came to pass, as he, that being Jesus, went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And it came to pass as he went to Jerusalem. Luke 9:51 says, and it came to pass when the time was come that he should be received up, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. Jesus was going to Jerusalem for a purpose. Jesus was not going to Jerusalem to go to the Mall of Jerusalem. Jesus was not going to Jerusalem for a tourist time. Jesus was going to Jerusalem to die. Jesus fulfilling Isaiah 50 verse 7 where it says, he set his face like a flint to go to Jerusalem. It was on purpose that he must go and that he must be sacrificed. You know, we have Christmas coming. May I say this, Christmas would mean nothing if it wasn't for his death, burial, and resurrection. It's his death, burial, and resurrection that we should desire to honor. He came to pay our ransom. He came to offer us redemption. For we are not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ. We cannot work our way to heaven. We are not good enough to get into heaven by our own merits. We only get into heaven through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. And then if it is upon us as we accept him as our Savior. Notice verse 12. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. We are not given the name of the village he is entering. But as he enters the city, a group of men, 10 of them, are gathered together over in a group. And they have the illness that would cause them to be lepers. They have leprosy. It was a dread disease. Leprosy will begin with the sensation to the fingers, toes, nose, and ears as it begins to work its insidious disease. Many times it will turn the skin white. And leprosy leads to the mutilation and deformities as fingers fall off. Toes fall off. The ears fall off. The nose will fall off. You say, how hideous. When I was in Bible college working for the Arlington Public Schools, I was on a crew that went around and did custodial works for the custodians that were absent. And for a while, we were going to the headquarters of the Arlington Public Schools, and we were doing the work there. And I would go in with 4 or 5 guys and we would mop and we would clean bathrooms and we would vacuum and et cetera. And the reason we were there is because the custodian had gotten nose cancer. And they had removed his nose. And he would wear a little mask over his nose, and the women of the headquarters there at the Arlington Public Schools all began to complain and said, we can't stand having him here. And so the Arlington Public Schools, not knowing what to do, sent this man to the dustiest and dirtiest school in the district, knowing full well that because he didn't have a nose, he wouldn't be able to work much longer. You know, it's pretty hard to look at someone who's maybe been deformed. Maybe you saw the pictures not too long ago shown on television of the girl that was attacked by a raccoon. And it removed the ear, removed her nose. It was terrible. These people had leprosy and nobody wanted to be around them. Lepers were outcasts. And they usually gathered together near the gates of the city. And the reason being is, well, they had to be near people so that they could provide food and clothing, because they couldn't get a job, nobody would have them. Because they were afraid if they were too close to this leper, they would come down with leprosy. They were outcasts. And tradition has it that as you approached them, they would have to shout out, "Unclean! Unclean!" Can you imagine? Every time somebody came near you, you would have to shout, "Unclean!" Even though you were physically clean, it's because of your leprosy. So they were dependent upon the goodwill of others, maybe family members, that would provide them with clothes and food. And usually the people that helped, be they family or friends, would leave the items at a certain location. And the leper would go and get the food, or would get the clothing, or get the blankets, or whatever. Because they couldn't be near people. Notice verse 13. "And they lifted up their voices and said, 'Jesus, Master, have mercy on us.'" See in your mind's eye the scene. Jesus is walking with his disciples and those people that wanted to be near Christ. And they're listening to what he has to say. And maybe one of the disciples or one of those that are traveling spy this group of men standing over there and realizes right away who they are, because a lot of times they would wear clothing that would cover their whole bodies, including their faces. And maybe that disciple nudged the other that was beside him and they smiled at each other, wondering what Jesus was going to do. You know, it would have been exciting to have been with Jesus. It would have been exciting to hear him, but also to have seen as he would have compassion even on the outcasts of life. Aren't you glad that he has compassion on you? Amen. And the lepers, being beggars, probably called out to anyone new. You're walking with Jesus, and you hear this group of men calling out, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." What is your first thought? You know, quite often, if we see somebody that's a little different, we have a tendency to skirt them. We have a tendency to try to get away from them. We don't want to be bothered. But what's Jesus going to do? Probably one of the beggars, one of the lepers, says, "That's Jesus. He's the miracle worker. I heard he touched a leper and healed him." Now that was unheard of, to willingly touch a leper, yet Jesus did that. He touched a leper in another situation, which we'll look at shortly, and he touched them. But can you hear them calling? Can you hear the 10 lepers calling? They're trying to get Jesus' attention. They're used to people ignoring them. They're used to people turning their head and acting like they don't see them. And they call out to him, "Have mercy on us." And this is what Jesus does, verse 14. "And when he saw them," he doesn't ignore them. He knows that they have a problem. He understands that because there's sin in the world, there's illness and sicknesses. "And when he saw them, he said unto them, 'Go show thyselves unto the priests.'" He doesn't walk over and touch them. He doesn't spend a lot of time with them. He simply says, go and show yourselves unto the priests. In Luke chapter 5, we told you that Jesus stretched forth his hand and touched the one with leprosy. And straightway the leprosy departed from him. And he charged that he tell no man, but go show thyself to the priest. Now that's what he told the man in Luke 5. Here in Luke chapter 17, he says to the 10 men, go show yourselves unto the priests. G. Campbell Morgan comments on these two cleansings. It is noticeable that in both cases, Jesus sent them to the priests. Why? The answer is found in the book of Leviticus in chapters 13 and 14, which contain the laws concerning the leper. In the divine economy, the priest was appointed to examine the leper and see whether he was suffering from true leprosy or false. Moreover, the priest was the one who was to proclaim him clean if he were healed. So Jesus told these men to obey the Mosaic economy in order that the priest might pronounce them clean. You know, in the Word of God, leprosy is often a type of sin. And if we are going to be cleansed spiritually, we need our sins forgiven. And we need to change our lifestyle. So that is why he went to the priest. So that the priest could say, you are clean. Why do you think that a lot of people don't like going to church? Especially a church that proclaims the Word of God. They don't want to be told that there needs to be change. They don't want to be told they need to repent. See, we live in a world that doesn't want to be held accountable for their actions. But the fact of the matter is, the world can tell you we're not accountable, but God says you are. And someday we will all stand before the God of the universe. Even the one who proclaims evolution, even the one that proclaims a lifestyle that the Bible calls sin, he will stand before God. The second part of verse 14. And it came to pass that as they went, that being the 10 lepers, they were cleansed. That would be amazing. You've had leprosy. You have been eaten, shall we say, by this disease. Maybe you have lost fingers or toes or whatever, and suddenly you are healed. Would you say you would be excited? I tell you what, you would be excited. The other day when I was still having therapy, and Joe and I were talking, and he said this, that he will tell his patients to do this and this to help the healing process. But then he said, but most do not do what is recommended. Because the patient wants the therapist to do all the work. You know, as pastors, and I'm one, and my dad, Pastor Stephen, we suggest this is what we should be doing. But so often, we want the pastors to do all the work. Folks, if you're waiting for the pastors to do all the work, you're going to be disappointed. We all need to do this together. We are a group serving the Lord together. Jesus said, go show yourself unto the priests. If they had stood there by the gate of the city, they would have remained in their diseased condition. Verse 15 down through verse 18. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God save this stranger. Only one came and gave thanks. 9/10 of those that were healed did not return to give thanks. Remember, leprosy is a picture of sin. And we that have been forgiven by the Lord need to thank him. But so often we are distracted. Television, internet, cell phones, shopping, sports, activities, work. We're too busy to thank God for what he's done for us. Many times we feel entitled. If we go to church, we say, well, I go to church, thus God should keep me healthy and provide all my needs and wants, and bad things should never happen. We feel entitled, but bad things are going to happen. And we should thank God for all he's done for us. We need to be thankful. Are we in danger of being among the nine rather than the one? Forgetting and failing in our praising of our Lord. We should be thankful that someone told us of our need. And then gave us the prescription on how we could be healed. May I say this? Sin is in our lives, and we must be cleansed. And Jesus Christ is the one that can clean us. Shall we stand together? Our song of invitation, 381, is Jesus is calling. His desire is that we come to him so that we can be cleansed. Do you need to come today? Do you need to get things right with the Lord? Do you need to come and just thank him for once again, thanking him for being our Savior? 381, we'll sing in just a moment, but shall we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for your love. Thank you for the salvation that is available through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Thank you, Lord, for being willing to save our souls. In Jesus' name we pray, and with thanksgiving, amen.